Hello and welcome to our broadcast. We're about halfway through our series in Lessons from Luke. Stay tuned. We saw in one of our previous broadcasts that Jesus was halfway through his message when he got interrupted once again by a man in Luke chapter 12 and verse number 13, where it says, "One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." Well, here's a man in the crowd, in spite of the things that Jesus had been teaching about spiritual things. He had no spiritual interest at all. He was interested in temporal things. He said, "What about my inheritance? Speak to my brother." Jesus said unto him in verse 14, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" That word "man" is kind of like we would say "mister." It was not a response to a friend. As a result of that question, we read in verse number 14 that Jesus said unto him, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" And then in verse 15, he said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." So when we're looking at scriptures, it's very important to make sure that we are reading them and studying them within their context. Who is speaking and who is he speaking to? Now, when it says here, "He said unto them," he is talking to the remnant. He is talking to those in that humongous crowd who were really seeking the truth. Some of those people in that crowd would have been unsaved, but they wanted the truth. Some of them in that crowd would have been Christians who wanted the truth. Some of them in that crowd would have been unsaved who really didn't want the truth. They were there for the miracles they'd heard about. Some people were religious hypocrites, some were antagonistic, some were just sort of there. There was all kinds of people in that crowd. But it says here in verse number 15, "He said unto them," he's talking to those who want the truth, and very few people do today, "Take heed," he said, "and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." Now, he tells the story of the rich man who tore down his barns and built bigger barns and said, to his soul, he said, "Thou hast much goods laid up for many years." He's going to take his ease. He's going to eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" What is a fool? It is someone who is ignorantly destitute of the truth. And so he says, "Who will these things belong to?" And you're gone. Tonight, you're going. We have a story in the Old Testament of a man named Solomon who was very, very wealthy, and he was very wise. He asked for wisdom, and God gave it to him. Now, it's interesting, in the last little book that he wrote, it's called the Book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon used the word "fool" 12 times. He said in Ecclesiastes 2:16, "And how dieth the wise man? As the fool." Now, he talks about it in Ecclesiastes at the beginning of the book in chapter 2. He said in verse 4, "I builded me houses, I got vineyards, I made me orchards, I had gardens, I had me pools of water." Yeah, he had a swimming pool and all kinds of pools. "I got me servants and maid servants, and I got possessions." Verse 8, he said, "I gathered me silver and gold and peculiar treasures." Now, we're living in an age when people want peculiar treasures. You know, a Picasso painting sold for $179 million. A photograph of Billy the Kid once sold for $23 million. A photograph. A 1957 Ferrari recently sold for $16,390. And a jacket that Michael Jackson owned sold for $1.8 million. John Wayne, in the clothes that he wore in a movie called True Grit, that brought in $5.3 million. And a Marilyn Monroe dress brought in $5.5 million. There was a baseball card by Mark McGuire. It sold for a little piece of cardboard. It sold for $3 million. And Wayne Gretzky card recently sold for $94,613, a little piece of cardboard. Well, I don't know what peculiar treasures were available in Solomon's day, but he got everything as he set his eyes on. He said in verse 11, "Then I looked on all, and behold, it was vanity and vexation of spirit. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And how dieth the wise man? As a fool." He said, "Vanity of vanities," 42 times. Ecclesiastes 12, he ended it in verse 13. And he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What should we really do? Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment. Well, we see here again in Luke chapter 12, where our study is, verse 21, Jesus said, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich unto God. Well, he then gives a lesson here for the truth seekers. It says in verse 22, he said unto his disciples, that is the learners, that is those who wanted the truth, whether they be saved or unsaved. The word disciple here simply means learner. And he said to them, the rest of the crowd could listen or go home, didn't matter much. He said to those learners, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what you shall put on. Now, when it says take no thought, it actually means don't be anxious about these things. He said, consider the ravens in verse 24. They neither sow nor reap, and God takes care of them. He said in verse number 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. He said, Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. I'll take care of them, he said. And verse 29, he said, and seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. He said, I'm going to take care of you. Verse 31, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then he said, speaking to those who wanted the truth, who wanted to learn, he said in verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so he said in verse 34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Well, down from there on through, he talks from verse 35 on through 40 about the great wedding that's coming someday. And he says you need to just get ready for the wedding. Let your loins be girded up about you, your lights burning, he says in verse 35. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for the Lord. Are you waiting for the Lord? He said, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Are you watching? Are you waiting? Or are you busy just trying to gather up things of this world? He said in verse number 40, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Well, we're living in a think not generation, I'll tell you that. Not much thinking going on these days. But what he's talking about, they're thinking about when he's coming back. Let me ask you a question. Do you really think Jesus will come today? Do you really think he will come today? Do you think, well, maybe he'll come tomorrow? We don't plan like we think that way. So he says, be ye therefore ready. What's that mean? In a suitable state for the situation. Well, then Peter, here's another interruption. He had several interruptions while he was preaching this message. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? Who are you speaking this parable to? Now again, there's an innumerable multitude of people. Some of them are referred to as disciples, which, as we said, simply means they're learners, they're teachable. Some would be unsaved who are seeking the truth. Some would be Christians who are seeking the truth. Then there was religious deceivers and Pharisees are certainly not included in this word disciple, which means learner. You couldn't teach them anything. Well, he used the word fear. That message is for unsaved who would be seeking the truth. He said, I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. If you're not saved, you better fear him. Then, a few verses later, he uses the term fear not. This message is for Christians that were seeking the truth. And in Luke 12 and 32, he turns to those Christians and he says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And so we need to understand when he's talking to the people in verse 54, when he's talking to the hypocrites that are mentioned here in this portion of Scripture in verse number 56. And so in answer to Peter's question, he says, first of all, in verse 42, the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward?" Let's talk about him. And then in verse number 45, he says, "But there's that servant that say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming," and we're going to talk about him. And then in verse number 46, "The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him." So who's that referring to? And then you have verse number 47, "And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself." Well, we know who that is. He's talking about people who know they need to get saved, but they don't get saved, neither do according to his will. It says, "They shall be beaten with many stripes." And then he says in verse 48, we got those that knew not and did not commit things worthy of stripe, "they shall be beaten with few stripes." In other words, if you live in one of our cities or towns in North America, you can hear the gospel over and over and over and over and over again, and you do not the Lord's will, you do not prepare yourself, then the Bible talks about degrees of punishment in hell. That person who has rejected Christ again and again will be beaten with many stripes. And then it says in verse 48, there's those that did not know. Maybe they're in the jungles in Venezuela, where we have had our missionary over there in a little jungle village in Cuba, and they don't have the chance that we have here in North America to hear the gospel all the time. And so there is a difference here. And so we need to understand that when we're looking at this portion of Scripture, to realize that Jesus is talking to all kinds of different people here, and to those who are not saved, he says, "Fear." To the Christians who are saved and they know they are saved, he says, "Fear not," in verse number 32. Then in verse 49, Jesus said, "I am come to send fire on the earth," and fire is a picture of judgment. Now, fire consumes, but fire also refines. You put gold in the fire, burns off the dross, and it purifies it. So he said, "I have come to send fire." Now, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, will guide us into all truth. He will convict the unsaved that he needs to get saved. He will guide the Christian into all truth. All we have to do is be ready to be one of these learners, to be teachable and say, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" If you need to be saved, the Holy Spirit will tell you that. If you are saved and you need to have some instructions, the Holy Spirit will give you those instructions. He'll guide you into all truth. All we need to do is be honest and say, "Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth." So Jesus went on to say in verse number 51, he says, "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on the earth? I tell you nay, but rather division." People are going to be divided. Now the key phrase here is "on the earth," verse 49. And then again in verse 51, "on the earth." Now I didn't come to give peace on the earth. Yes, you can have peace in your heart, peace that passes understanding. But as far as this world is concerned, he says there's going to be division in the household. He says in verse 53, "The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." He said, I didn't come here to give you anything but the truth, and the truth is going to cause division in this world, on the earth. Well, you can receive Christ as your personal Savior, do what he says to do, and you can have peace that passes understanding. But he said, "I didn't come bring peace to the earth," not yet anyway. We'll see that when there's 1,000-year reign of Christ here, but it's certainly not now. Have you looked at the news lately on TV? There's no peace. You can't have peace without the Prince of Peace, and we reject the Prince of Peace. Well, then in verse number 54, it says, "He said also to the people." Now here again, he's turning his direction to the whole group. And he says, "When you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower. And so it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? And yea, why, he said, even among yourselves judge ye not what is right? Now, I can hear some self-righteous person who thinks he knows a little bit about the Bible, and you can put everything he knows about the Bible in a thimble, and he says, the Bible says, judge not that you be not judged. No, it doesn't. It says, why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? Get it straight. Get it in its context. See what Jesus is saying. When he said in Matthew 7 and 1, judge not that be not judged, read down a little further. He said, ye hypocrite, you have no right to judge, you hypocrite. But he says, "You, if you're not a hypocrite, why is it that ye judge not what is right?" And then there's a warning here. He says, "And when thou goest to thine adversary to the magistrates as thou art in the way, give diligence that now thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hale thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officers, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the last mite." What he's saying here, and it's an analogy, he says, listen, you better get things right with the Lord before you have to face the judge, because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if we do not know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, the Bible says he will say, depart from me, cursed, I never knew you. And although we don't hear anything on the subject of hell anymore, there is one. Every time that Jesus preached on hell, he preached on heaven 10 times, and there is an eternal hell. And he says, you better be delivered before you face the judge. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And he also said, you will not come that you might have life. Well, we have no choice but to choose. The decision is yours. You're in that crowd, an innumerable multitude of people, but it boils down to you as an individual. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral, you cannot be. One day your heart will be asking, what will he do with me?